Hello, and welcome to the Villains and Monsters podcast, where true crime meets thrilling fiction and dark minds come together to talk about all things sinister and psychotic. I'm Cassie Sharp, suspense and thriller author, and your host. Hi, and welcome to episode 12 of Villains and Monsters, also known as Where the Shadow Lies, the audio cast. I am Cassie, and I am so happy to be here today. Okay, so today we're going to hear chapters 27 and 28 of Where the Shadow Lies, my debut novel, psychological thriller. Today's point of views are JL's and Jason's, and yay, I'm so happy, Jason. As you guys know, I just fucking love Jason. And writing his point of view was just the coolest. He's so dark and so just, man, he's just disturbed. And I guess it says something about me that I fucking love writing disturbing shit. So I guess that's why I'm a suspense and thriller author. There you go. Anyway, stay tuned in this episode, chapters 27 and 28, to find out, will Jason be exonerated? What's JL going to do about Lucas Grisby? And will Jason learn the truth of his father? Right, so, quick update about me. I'm still writing the domestic thriller that I was talking about, and it finally has a title. Yay! But I'm not ready to release the title yet. I learned the hard way that sometimes when you put your title out there, competing authors can steal them. So we're not fucking going there, okay? I have a project related to Alexa Storm in the works. If you've read Dark Dead Stars, my newest novel that published in February, then you know who Alexa Storm is. And I have a fun project related to that whole brand coming up in the works. And I'm working on what this podcast will be when it switches to the actual Villains and Monsters, the podcast, and not this audio cast that I'm doing for my readers and during this pandemic. So what's that going to look like? I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a mixture of my creativeness and true crime and interviews and just all kinds of fun stuff. So I'm excited. I can't wait to do it. And it almost makes me want to not narrate Dark Dead Stars so I can get right into it. And I still haven't decided about that. So I don't know. I would love to read Dark Dead Stars because I love the pace and the tone of that book, and it was really fun to write, and it's shorter than Where the Shadow Lies, so it won't take 18 episodes, but we'll see. Anyway, I'm also narrowing down a date that Where the Shadow Lies, the audio cast, we're on episode 12 now, there's going to be about 6 more episodes, when these will go off of the podcast, because I do plan to have audiobooks made of Where the Shadow Lies and Dark Dead Stars soon. So anyway, and I'm going to also begin creating all the social media stuff for Villains and Monsters, and I'll update you guys when that's all final. Right now, I just wanted to get these out there and practice my recording and my audio skills, and I definitely need to practice my editing skills. So that's what I'm going to work on for these next few episodes, so that when Villains and Monsters is ready to be Villains and Monsters, the podcast, it will be the best that it can fucking be. Right, so let's recap last episode, which was chapters 25 and 26. JL talks to Jason on Skype, and he's not doing well, and JL won't. They don't actually talk. They use their sign language. They're spelling out the letters with their hands. Anyway, he's not doing well, and that really fucks with JL's head. And then Lucas Grisby visits JL and assaults her. And then Xander gets Jason's alibi for Emily's kidnapping and presents it to the cops. And it turns out Mathis disrupted the chain of evidence that linked Jason's DNA to Lila Ridley's murder. But will the police go for it? That's the question. So you will have to listen to find out. Chapter 27. A look in JL's rearview mirror confirmed it. He was still following her. A quick punch to the accelerator had her gaining distance. She swerved into the right lane, cutting off a neon green Prius. The driver didn't honk or give her the finger. She would have done both. In the side mirror, she caught her follower speeding up. She smiled. They could do this all day. At the next stoplight, JL made a right. She laughed when he sped past, not able to cross lanes in time to follow her because of the patient, environmentally friendly driver in his way. It wasn't far to her destination, a few miles at most. Her mouth felt dry and her hands itched to grab the pack of cigarettes in her console. She'd gone all morning without one. She'd rolled her window down 3 times on the drive to toss the pack out, but each time she'd not been able to. She might need it after this errand was over. Also, litter. The building was intrusive. It burst onto the sidewalk in front of it. The upper levels were even larger, hanging over the rest of the building, casting a shadow onto its neighbors. Working here would likely transform any entitled brat to narcissist, the perfect setting for Grisby and associates. JL parallel parked in front. She took her time to check her hair in the mirror and apply a swipe of chapstick. "Don't be such a pussy," she told her trembling hands. She smiled when she said that word, pussy. It reminded her of Graham. Nerves quelled, she hopped out of her car and strode to the door. Grisby's practice was housed on the 9th floor. Barging through the doors, she sped past his stammering, pretty-haired secretary, straight to the lion's den. Lucas Grisby sat in his large, wing-backed chair at his huge desk in front of 2 gigantic fucking windows. Compensation? His head was bent low to his laptop. She cleared her throat. Go away, Becky. I'm working. He didn't even look up as he addressed his non-present secretary. Becky must not be important enough to garner eye contact, though JL was pretty sure he felt the same about the entire female population. Becky isn't here. His head snapped up, jaw unhinged, cheeks reddening. She smirked. What the hell are you doing here? His words sounded off. She inched closer. His lip was swollen, noticeably so. She wondered what he told people. Business, she said with a forced nonchalance. He narrowed his eyes. I'll call you if there are any changes. Get out. A grin tickled her lips. Oh, but there are changes. Lots of them. Her voice was faux cheer and barely contained fury. Grisby crossed his arms and leaned back in his chair. She took the liberty of taking a seat at one of the 2 chairs that sat opposite him across his expansive desk. The chair was hard and cold, a reminder of one's place across from the plush throne he reigned upon. A clear, sturdy-looking paperweight was inches from her. She felt the urge to lob it at his head. What changes? The words sounded utterly emotionless. First of all, this dynamic? She gestured to him and then back to herself. Between us? Totally different. You're going to get Jason released. Today. In exchange for your haste, I won't file charges against you. The energy in the room grew tense. He leaned toward her. Only now did she realize she was alone in an enclosed space, 9 stories above the ground, with a man who had attacked her only 12 hours before. Her thumb met her finger. 1, breathe, 2, no. She took a deep breath. She had practiced this speech many times. It was going to go her way. All she had to do was get the words out. "What charges?" he drawled. "Assault, attempted rape, threatening behavior," she said, ticking off the charges on her fingers. She wasn't exactly sure the last one was legitimate, but it sounded cool anyway. He scoffed. "Your word against mine, babe. Who do you think they're going to believe?" "Do not pick up that paperweight." She glanced at her nails. They were hideous, each nail chewed down as far as they could be. "Oh, yours, I'm sure," she shrugged. "But lucky for me, I have security cameras." He was pale now, his eyes wide with fear. Her grin mutated into a full-blown smile of satisfaction as she nodded. "I know, right? How shitty for you," she sighed. "There are more changes, and now that you're committed to helping me, I can tell you what they are." She waited for a response, nothing but silent seething, so she went on. "Jason's got a real, verifiable alibi for the night Emily went missing." "He's been charged with more than one kidnapping." He'd returned to smug. Scared had been better for her resolve. "Well, the police fucked up that evidence. It wasn't filed until the next day. Too many opportunities for Jason's DNA to be planted." Grisby perked up. "When did all this happen?" She glared at him. "Last night, when you forgot what the word no means." He averted his eyes. "I want the video footage before I do anything else on Jason's behalf." She almost laughed. "You can have this copy." She retrieved the DVD from her purse and flung it across his desk. "But I have another one, insurance and all that. You get him released today and you'll get my copy too." "How do I know you can be trusted to deliver?" The laugh escaped. It was short, choppy. "You don't. But you have no other choice." JL stood, time to leave. She got halfway to the door before he spoke. "I'll be in touch, Catherine." She stopped. No. Her ears felt hot, her hands cold. How the hell does he know? Tears pooled in her eyes. She blinked them back. Lucas Grisby would never again witness her vulnerability. She turned. "You aren't the only one with tricks up your sleeve." The smug prick was smiling. She'd been so close. Her hands fisted at her sides. "You know nothing." It sounded firm. "You sure about that, Miss Freeman? Seems to me I know a whole lot more about you than most people do," he said, holding up a file. "Shit." Above the current. Her back straightened, followed closely by her shoulders. "The information you think you have means nothing to me. I'll expect your call to pick up my son within the next few hours." He chuckled. "Speaking of your son, does he know how his mommy isn't who she says she is? I wonder what that information would do to an already precarious mind." Her gaze fell to the floor. The picture of Jason as she watched him on Skype flashed through her mind. He was broken. What would it do to him? Can something become more damaged than that? She knew it could. She knew that even a broken soul could shatter. She lifted her head, and though her heart was screaming at her to shut her mouth, her mind knew. She gave him an exaggerated shrug. "Go ahead and tell him if you want to. Your time's running out." He said nothing as she walked out of his door. When she passed his secretary's desk, she felt a hint of guilt. The girl would no doubt feel the weight of Grisby's wrath later. "Becky?" Becky looked up, surprised. "Yeah?" "Find another job. You deserve better." It wasn't until the elevator doors closed that Jael's legs fell out from under her. She shook on the carpet for 9 floors. When the doors opened, she ambled out. Mike was waiting for her by her car, looking furious. Jael had been single her entire adult life. Catering to the needs or feelings of another adult was foreign. Recognizing social cues and reading body language was not something she knew how to do. The silent treatment, however, was universally known. Being on the receiving end of it from someone other than a hormonal teenager was infuriating enough. The fact that she'd gotten it from 2 different men in one day was a recipe to make her blood boil. Mike hadn't said a single thing to her when she'd come out of Grisby's office. Words were not needed, with eyes as expressive as his. He shot judgment from them like laser beams. "What?" she'd said when she reached her car door. His eyebrows shot straight up, his mouth a tight line of displeasure. She'd rolled her eyes. "Keep up next time." She'd smiled and hopped in her car. Mike had taken a seat on the passenger's side. "What are you doing?" Nothing. Not a single mumble or grunt. The drive home had been torturous. He'd sat there perfectly tense in his brooding. He'd uncrossed his arms only twice, and that had been to send a text on his phone. She hadn't been able to see whom he was talking, but ventured an educated guess. They'd been home for a few hours when Xander came back. Mike met him outside, and they'd stayed there for at least 20 minutes until Mike's ride had shown up. The urge to light a cigarette had been strong while they'd engaged in guy talk. She knew Mike was ratting her out, and the last thing she'd felt like dealing with was a lecture about not evading his men when Jason's release was consuming her thoughts. When Xander walked into the house, he brought a chill with him. "What did the detective say?" she'd asked him as soon as he dropped his keys onto the kitchen counter. He'd perched both hands on the counter in front of him. With tense shoulders and short, clipped sentences, he'd given her news that brought her hope. "I'm certain they'll drop the original charges. The new ones are up in the air." She'd frowned. "But what about Mathis?" His jaw went tick, tick, tick. He cleared his throat. "That's complicated. We'll just have to see how it plays out." Those were the only words he'd spoken to her in hours. She now sat in her rocking chair on her front porch, phone in lap, seething. As hypocritical as it was, she hated being ignored. Was he trying to prove some sort of point? Was he using her tendency to retreat from people against her? It felt like it. She thought about the way she'd treated him since they met and cringed. She'd shit on him with silence more than once. Payback, karma, poetic justice, whatever, they all sucked. She wanted more information about his trip to the police department. A play-by-play was preferred. Men couldn't always read between the lines. There was a chance she could garner a different perspective about his meeting with the detective. She also, maybe just a little bit, missed the gravel of his voice. Screw it. She hopped out of the chair and went in the house in search for Xander. She found him on the back porch. How odd it was that they'd both been sitting under the same sun, beneath the same cloud, yet miles apart. He sat in his usual patio chair, elbows resting on knees, eyes glued to the horizon. She took the seat across from him. "You gonna ignore me all day?" she asked. When he shook his head, she continued, "Would you care to share what's on your mind?" He turned to her, eyes that knew too much explored her own. It was uncomfortable, his scrutiny, but she refused to back down. "What happened in his office?" There was an edge to his voice she'd never heard before. She hesitated, not expecting him to begin there. "We talked." Shit. He wasn't going to be happy with the elaboration, and she knew he'd demand. "You talked," he deadpanned. Yep, he was going to be mad. "Yeah, you went to his office, alone, to talk, to the man who assaulted you last night. She straightened her posture. It's a crowded office building, Xander. Plenty of people around to hear me scream. His eyebrows shot up and he blinked slowly, gripping his knees. And if he would have covered your mouth before you could scream while threatening to kill you if you made a noise? All of her breath wheezed out. You scream, I kill you. She shook her head. That was the past. Do you understand? No, no, no. She squeezed her eyes shut. Yes, little kitty cat. Oh, yes. Ragged breaths forced through her lungs as she rocked back and forth, her arms crossed around her middle. Above, above, above. The past could stay in its fucking place. She was not that girl anymore. JL pried her eyes open. Xander was there, kneeling in front of her. Their eyes met and Xander's hand cupped both of her cheeks. I'm sorry, he whispered. Angel, I'm so fucking sorry. She searched his hazel eyes for a foundation, for strength and fortitude. He searched hers as well, looking for what? Sanity? She'd never had much of that. His thumbs grazed her cheeks, lulling her crazy back to rest. He slid one hand up and through her hair. There was only a fraction of an inch between them. His lips were right there, full and enticing. She didn't remember what it felt like to be kissed by a man. Hell, she'd never been kissed by one. She wanted to close that distance, ache to feel his lips on her own. Chills broke out across her skin when his other hand traveled to her hair. Her chest rose and fell in rapid succession. Kiss me, Xander. She screamed the thought at him, but he didn't budge. Her move. Shit. She closed her eyes and leaned into him. When their lips touched, Xander's hands tightened in her hair. Tingles sashayed through her veins. It was a ghost of a kiss. Timid. Feathery. It was the physical embodiment of everything she never knew she'd been missing out on in the world. She inched closer to him, needing to deepen their connection, needing to... Mom? All motion ceased. JL ripped herself out of Xander's hold, whipping her head around to look at the back door. Jason stood there. It took a moment for her brain to catch up enough to tell her legs to move. When they finally did, she ran to him. Grabbing her son with both hands, she pulled him in for a fierce hug. Chapter 28. It felt strange to be in his childhood home. He'd been in jail only 5 days, but he didn't feel like the same person anymore. A cold detachment had settled in his mind, in his heart. He could have been out of there days ago, but he'd chosen not to. He was arraigned not long after the second set of charges had been brought against him. Despite the nature of the charges, Lucas Grisby had somehow gotten the judge to agree to a bail set at $250,000. Jason had more than that in his savings account. Neither his attorney nor his mother could understand what made Jason turn it down. The truth is, he knew he was losing it. Hallucinations, both visual and auditory, had danced around his cell, distorting reality. Locked away in that room had felt like the safest place for him to be. That had all changed when Grisby had shown up this morning at the door to his cage. You're getting out of here today, his attorney had said. Jason had figured Grisby was there to pressure him into posting bail. Go away, Jason had barked. It had worked. He'd left. A few hours later, Jason was released and the charges were all dropped. He still couldn't believe it. He supposed he'd resigned himself to living the rest of his days behind bars. It had almost been a relief. No more pretensions. No more fake smiles from assholes who judged him and when he walked away. No more wondering what he was going to do with his life. Prison almost seemed attractive to a man whose life was defined by order and routine. He imagined himself content with much less anxiety being in an environment where everyone is forced to be as tidy and organized as he. Over the last 2 days, he'd embraced his future, had begun to figure out a game plan for the first few days after he would be transferred to his prison home. He'd have to assert his strength right off the bat. The predators would be looking for weakness in the new guy, so he'd fantasized a few scenarios to avoid becoming prey. They'd all involve the spilling of blood. Jason shook off those thoughts. That was no longer his future, for now. Mom walked through the back door carrying a tray of appetizers and a glass pitcher of tea. As much as she'd always rejected the silly southern customs of the women she knew, she was always doing them herself. She looked tired, exhausted, like she'd not slept a single moment since he was arrested. A small twinge of guilt stung his chest. If he'd posted bail, she wouldn't have been so worried. The dark rings around her eyes looked strange, coupled with her brilliant smile. Jason stood, grabbing the pitcher out of her hand. "Where's Xander?" She set the tray of deviled eggs, pinwheels, olives, and crackers with cheese down. Then, next to it, his switchblade. He'd asked her to hold on to it for him when he'd visit her at the hotel after Xander had questioned him about Emily. Before he'd been arrested. Before his heart blackened. It was a damn good thing he'd given it to her for safekeeping. Evidence and all that. "He's got calls to make and emails to answer," she smiled. "He's a businessman." And what a sneaky little business it is. Jason knew things about Xander, things he'd only learned right before his arrest when he'd been sneaking around in Xander's offices. In the big picture, he still considered him a good guy, but he had the feeling the man was hiding things from his mother. He decided while locked up he wouldn't tell Mom about the suspicions. Even if they were true, Xander cared about her, and Jason wasn't going to fuck with her happiness. "Are you happy?" He grabbed a pinwheel off the tray and devoured it. She frowned as she took her seat. "Of course I am. I knew you would get out of it all because you were innocent, but it still killed me that you were in there, alone." She reached out her hand to touch his. "I hated it. I'm just happy we can put all this behind us." That's where she was wrong, but they'd get to that later. "I mean, with Xander." She snatched her hand back, but said nothing. You guys have been dating for a while now, haven't you? It's got to be a good thing if you haven't kicked him to the curb by now." He studied her reaction. She was stoic. "Yeah." She paused, her forehead scrunched in the way it always did when she was deep in thought. "No, actually, we haven't." She looked down at her hands while she spoke. "That was a lie, Jason. We were never dating." He'd suspected that too. "Why?" She shook her head. "I asked him." She took a deep breath and looked up. "I asked him to follow you around. When we first found the letter, I was worried sick, and I thought if someone could just watch out for you, have your back, that everything would be all right." Guilt shone in her big eyes. "I'm sorry I lied to you." Missing sections of the puzzle came together with that knowledge. That's why she'd had his business card. Why Xander had been at the coffee shop that day he'd argued with Emily. Only for a moment did he feel upset at the lie Mom told about Xander. He didn't suppose any of them would be fit to offer a lecture about honesty. "Something has obviously developed, though. I'm not blind to what I saw when I came home." Mom blushed. That was a first, and it lightened his mood. "Yeah, there might be something. It's new. Let's not talk about that, okay?" Her eyes pleaded with his to let her off the hook. "Of course." Mom pointed to his neck. "How did you get that scratch?" Jason sighed. Admitting his crime to her sat heavy in his stomach, but it wasn't like she didn't already know. "When I broke into Xander's offices," he touched the already diminishing scratch. "It was dark. I didn't want to turn on a light and alert anyone to my presence. I fumbled around a bit, tripped over a few things, came away with a couple scratches that night. She sank back into her chair. Why didn't you want your bail posted? That was not the question he'd expected to come next. He wanted to throw her words back at her. Let's not talk about that, okay? But his guilt at adding to her worry compelled him to spill a bit of truth. I guess I felt like one way or another I was bound to end up there anyway. Why fight it, you know? He shrugged. Like father, like son. He regretted the words as soon as they were out. Dick move. She flinched and he wanted to take it back. Lucas showed you? She hissed. Showed me what? She hung her head in her hands. I found out he was in South Carolina before I got arrested. Longston and Raines mentioned he was in prison, Jason said. I never found out why, but since he's been there at least 20 years, I figure it's some pretty serious shit. Why didn't you tell me, Mom? Even as a kid, I could have handled that. 20 years was a long time. He knew it was bad, but he hadn't been able to get any more information that night in Xander's office because the alarm system was going off and his time had been limited. Tears welled in her eyes. He hated himself. I'm sorry, Mom. No, it's fine. I wanted to talk to you about this anyway. She cleared her throat. Your father... You don't have to. He didn't know if he was in a place to handle this much truth right now. You need to know, son. He nodded. Your father is not a good man. She laughed. It was ugly. He's actually the worst kind of human scum to ever exist on this earth. He's in prison for the rest of his life, hopefully. For what? She hesitated. Tears streamed down her cheeks. For kidnapping, torture, and rape. Rape barely escaped her tongue on a whisper. Holy fuck. He hadn't expected it. Murder, maybe, but not that. How had she gotten involved with a man like that and not seen him for who he really was? He voiced this question to her. She sat in silence, shaking and crying, while he stared at her, trying to figure out what he was missing. And then it hit him. It had been her. The scars. Prison would be in his future, after all. He took out the picture and the card, shoved them in his front pocket, and tossed the envelope on his bed. Jason had been home less than an hour, though it had been enough time to feel the effects of the whiskey which sat next to him on his nightstand. He'd been thirsty when Mom and Xander dropped him off. Now that his skin was tingling and his lips numb, all the day's revelations were beginning to sink in. Now he could admit to himself how it made him feel. Her confession. Feel. Rage. Hot, red, consuming rage. The fact that a man, any man, would dare hurt and violate his mom. Vengeance spread its seed on the burning flames of rage, and everything in his room turned black and red. Red rage made his body shake in a mixture of anger and hatred. Black vengeance told rage to sit the fuck down so it could think, so it could plan, so they could act. The whiskey bottle tipped to his lips over and over as the two contemplated their options. It actually took a while before any other emotions had courage enough to join the party. But it came, hard and fast. Shame. It constricted his lungs. He concentrated on his breathing, trying to tame the rhythm. Holy shit. The sick fuck who raped his mother, his sweet, loving mother, was his father. The man's dirty, terrible blood ran through Jason's own veins. He sat on his bed, shoulders tense from madness, staring at his palms. His mom had dainty little hands. Jason's had engulfed hers by the time he hit puberty. Were these his hands? Did Jason get his large stature and huge palms from his father? He laughed then, the image that had enacted in non-existent home movies through his head since he was a kid flashed through his drunken mind. They played out before him in one long, devastating reel of lies. His father holding doors open for mom when they were dating. The two of them making each other laugh while holding hands. They'd met young, obviously. It was all fun and innocence. Then they fell in love. Images of his father worshiping mom, ruining her for any other man with his love. Images of his mom, a big, pregnant belly. His dad lying his head right next to that belly, talking to his son in the womb. All those portraits he'd dreamed up as a kid. Those pictures that, along the way, turned into false memories he believed with all his heart. All of them were stupid, childish illusions. His palms came back into focus. He curled his fingers until his knuckles strained to break free of the skin that held them prisoner. These fists, how closely do they resemble my father's? Had his father balled them up the same way before he'd attacked her? Did he use the strength of his knuckles, my knuckles, to elicit submission from her? He unclenched his fists and stared at the palms again. His palms. How many times had she looked at her son's hands and seen the one that forced her all those years ago? The ones that destroyed her innocence, took away her dignity and her power. The hands that used brute strength to tear down all the delicate, intricate webs of thought and convictions that weaved her spirit into who she was. Bile was thick and strong in the back of his mouth. He didn't have the memories to go with the image of his father's hands. She did. Did she feel this fucking sick every time she looked at the replica of the hands that hurt her? Jason felt him then, inside, crawling through his veins, spreading corruption to every organ in his body. The blood, the blood, the blood. He couldn't let it continue to spread the sickness. It needed to be out. He reached in the drawer of his nightstand for the switchblade. As he held the knife, he turned it over and over, relishing the feel of a weapon in his hands. The handle was black, black like his soul, our souls. His thumb caressed the button's smooth, cold surface. His hand was shaking, the vile blood coursing, destroying ignorance in exchange for lunacy. He pressed the button and was mesmerized by the shiny steel that emerged, poised and primed to draw blood. His blood. My blood. Sickly green shame sat still, finally. Rage and vengeance scooted closer to try to understand the newcomer. He turned the blade from side to side, admiring the gleam. His mother's eyes appeared in the cold steel, rich chocolate on the outside with caramel next to her pupils. He used to think the way they blended resembled a sunburst. Now, it was as though the two colors had sent out sentries from their respective camps to invade their neighbor. Neither were successful. The result, a beautiful depiction of a battle right there on the surface for everyone to see. That interpretation would never have occurred to him without the knowledge he'd recently gained. The woman had been fighting a lifetime war he'd never known existed. His hand clenched the knife. He raised his other to test its sharpness. The razor edge slunk along the pad of his thumb, a chaste kiss. Not enough pressure to make a cut. He ran the blade along the side of his thumb, down, 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 toward his wrist. It's sharp enough. He stared at the veins there and thought about the tainted blood. Vengeance must have convinced shame to take a back seat because he no longer felt the urge to bleed him out. He sheathed the blade with a click and a hiss and slipped it in his pocket. Jason gathered himself off his bed, grabbed a shirt, and snatched up the envelope. On his way out, he dropped the letter on his kitchen counter. Armed and determined, he made his way to the door. my wow, Jason, man. Ugh. He is losing his shit, right? Hallucinations, terribly dark thoughts. I mean, but what would it do to you if you found out that you were the product of rape, you know? So can you really blame him for this really fucking with him? I don't know. It breaks my heart. Anyway, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, Villains and Monsters, so that you can be notified when the next episode is out. And find out, now that JL and Xander have kissed, what does that mean for their relationship? And where did Jason go? He left his house. He was drunk. What the fuck did he do? We shall see. We know that rage and vengeance are strong in him right now. So, anyway, we are getting to the climax of this book, and I can't fucking wait. I love the climax of this book. It's a slow build, and it just explodes in the end, and it's, I can't fucking wait. So, anyway, subscribe so you'll get all the episodes. It'll be right there for you. Make sure you rate this for me. I don't know what it does, but I'm sure it's a fucking good thing. If you have any questions or comments or concerns, you can email me at villainsandmonsters@gmail.com. You guys have a fucking fabulous week. Bye.